Thanks, Patricia. I'm Carolyn.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, everybody. I'm waving. No one can see me except Zoom. I never expected to be here because I didn't think alcoholism affected me very much at all. So I didn't really pay attention to 12-step programs my whole life. And I came to Al-Anon 5 years ago. So at 52, I came to Al-Anon. But I definitely grew up in alcoholism. I really thought that alcoholism didn't affect me very much. My dad drank, I want to say horribly. I didn't really see him drinking too much. I mean, sure, he always had a beer, like constantly had a beer. And as a kid, we'd take sips, taste terrible. He was always drinking, but I didn't realize he was an alcoholic. And I didn't realize there was anything wrong with that. And I never remember seeing him drunk. In fact, I remember going to bed at like 6, 7 at night so that I think we didn't see anything. So I started to see more when my parents got divorced. I was 8 years old. And we would go visit my dad by myself with my sister. And what would happen is he would drink a lot. He lived in a really terrible, dingy apartment with bugs in the pans and didn't have food. And we'd go down there and he'd sleep most of the time. We would try to like wake him up and he'd spend most of the weekend sleeping, or he'd take us out on dates with him, or he'd drive drunk and we'd be in the car with him. Sometimes we'd wait outside the bar while he was drinking. And I thought the waitresses were so nice because they gave me Shirley Temples with like three cherries in them. I thought that was the best thing ever. And then we would just eat the tray of mints that was sitting there, but we'd be sitting for hours. And I remember him driving and pulling bottles out of the car doors and driving really badly and scaring the shit out of me. But you're 8 years old, so you don't know what to do about that. So that's the first times I remember feeling like, wow, this is really scary. And he would drive us, my parents would drive down. Or my mom and my stepdad would drive down to meet him, and because my dad lived like 200 miles away, he'd drive up. Did he always drive up? I think my stepmom always drove up and he always drove back, and he fell asleep driving on the freeway every time. So I would sit behind him and keep him awake because he was falling asleep and swerving, and but I didn't think I was affected by alcoholism. So I grew up in mostly with my mom and my stepmom. And at one point, my dad got his license revoked in the 1970s, which I didn't even know was possible. He went to jail for that. At some point after that, he got in a fight with my stepmom and decided to light the house on fire. No one was hurt. The dogs got out okay. He went to jail. And I remember being in middle school and being horrified that my dad was in jail. And I didn't know how to deal with that. I think I just act like I didn't care. But I really did care, and it felt like crap. He wasn't reliable. He would say, "I love you, I care about you," and not show up, or not be there for us, or go on dates, when we were visiting, or just miss our birthdays, all that good stuff. And I don't know. One day when I was in high school, we got the call that he'd jumped off a bridge and killed himself. And I went to school the next day because my mom and my stepdad didn't know what to do with it. And I remember walking around in a haze, feeling like I didn't belong, like no one could understand what this is like, and feeling really useless, and also that it was my fault somehow, that if I'd been a better kid, he wouldn't have done this, and that I should have been better somehow, or I should have known, and so I carried that around with me, and I still do. And really beat myself up with it and didn't realize what I was doing for a really long time. So, got married to someone who was an alcoholic, but I didn't realize it, and kind of relived the terror of my childhood with my husband, where he would actually, he drove like he was drunk, but he was sober and he would terrorize me in the car. So it, yeah. I really relived that terror of being in a car with someone who's out of control. And I had my kids in the back. And he continued to escalate and do crazy things, like try to throw the TV through the glass door or scare me by driving terribly or threaten to do all kinds of stuff. And at some point we had a huge fight and he dragged me out of the house and locked me out. And I called the police on him and he went to jail for domestic violence and I filed for divorce. And I thought, I'm never doing this again, because why the hell would I do that again? It's all him. And 5 years later, I think, I married my second husband, my current husband, who's a recovering alcoholic. And my life was a complete nightmare still, again. And who's the common denominator there? It's me. But I still thought, I'm okay. Like, I'm a nice person. I'm a low key person. I'm neither of those things. I just try to control things. And I'm really grateful that he insisted I go to Al-Anon. I was really pissed off at the time because I'm like, I don't need Al-Anon. I don't need friends. I don't need more people. Not that I have tons of friends, but I just thought, I don't have time for this. I don't need a 12-step program. And it seemed weird. Honestly, it seemed really weird when I went to Al-Anon the first time. And it's really good that they tell you to go to several meetings, because some meetings resonate and some don't. So I went to a few meetings and I thought, why am I don't want to waste an hour here. And then I went to my current meeting and I thought, oh, you know, there's something going on here. There's something that really resonated. I felt my story coming out of the mouths of other people in the room. And I thought, oh shit, this isn't just me. This is other people. And maybe there's something to this, right? I thought, because I didn't drink, I made rules about drinking, you know, that I wouldn't be a drinker, that I wouldn't ever drink with a habit. I wouldn't drink when I'm upset, but that made me immune to the effects of alcohol. And because of the fact that my birth dad died when I was 15, I thought it didn't affect me very much, but it very much affected my personal relationships with my intimate partners, with men in my life. And I put up with shit and I feel like it's what I deserve. And I've been doing it for a long, long time and not realizing what a part I play in it. And that's a hard pill to swallow. It's hard to realize that you're the person that walks through life and decides to take this, or decides to, you know, enter into this type of relationship repeatedly. And, you know, it's hard to say it's someone else when it happens twice. And you think you read all the books and you did all the stuff. And I thought it was so different, but really I'm doing the same shit. It's just a different person. It's the same relationship, a different person. And I'm in it. I'm still in it. So I came to Al-Anon in April 11th, 2019, at the insistence of my husband. And I went, and I didn't tell him I went, because I thought, screw you, buddy, you can tell me to go, but I'm not going to tell you I'm going. I'm just going to like go and then, you know, not let you know I'm going. I don't know what the hell that was going to do. But I found my meeting and I thought, you know, I'm going to go to the other meeting. So there's a Wednesday meeting where a lot of the people go, and a Saturday. And I've been coming twice a week, pretty much every week ever since then. And I don't even know what to say, because I didn't think I needed Al-Anon. I didn't want Al-Anon and 12-step programs as a rule. I just thought were strange. I thought it was like very, well, not cultish, it was just odd. And I thought, I don't need this. I don't want to hear the same prayers. What do people I don't know have to tell me? But really, they tell me so much about what they've been through, and they tell me about their lives, and I feel a connection. They're my family. You know, they're like this group of people that means so much to me, that have brought me through so much, and my sponsor and everybody else. I've met such beautiful people that I didn't know you could have these kind of relationships, or that I needed them. That kind of connection with really honest, caring, loving, giving people that are just, you know, they're there for you in ways that other people aren't, and that you can be there for them. And there's just this beautiful, honest openness that you don't find very many places. And I did need this in my life. I need a sponsor to walk me through the steps, or not walk me, to help me through the steps. I need people to tell what I'm doing in my life. Otherwise I jump right back into those ruts of, you know, feeling like garbage and doing what I think people want me to do and lying about what I actually want, because it feels easier. It feels less scary to lie about it than it does to stand up and say, you know, what I really want if I know someone else doesn't want it. Because historically, that has meant terrifying things for me. And, you know, I wanted to avoid that. But what happens is it just keeps happening over and over. So I need to do the hard work of the steps and do the things that feel like I can't do them, like talking tonight, which feels mildly terrifying. And working through the steps and looking at my own life, looking at where I've been. I'm trying to figure out where those patterns came from, because I'll just keep repeating them. I already know that. And I don't want to do that. I want more of my life than I thought I could ever have. I didn't think about what I wanted. I didn't think about what kind of person I could be, because I just made myself so small. I'd already been convinced, or convinced myself, or believed that I was just worthless, that I was the other, you know, I was the weird, crazy kid. And I was of no merit, because that's where I was growing up. I wasn't the smart kid. I wasn't the pretty kid. I wasn't the funny kid. I was none of those things. I was just the weird, crazy bug kid. And I still carry that with me. And when you live so small, you don't even realize who you could be. And in this program, people always say I've become more me than I ever, you know, thought I could be. And that's how it feels. It feels like the world opens up in a way that I wasn't aware of, and I can't do it alone, because my own thoughts keep me so small and I don't even realize it. So this program has brought me support and friendship and an awareness about myself I didn't know existed or that I could have. And a better relationship with my kids too. I have a son and a daughter. They're both in their 20s. And when I came into this program, I was treating my kids like they couldn't do anything. I tried so hard to control everything and make sure they didn't get in trouble with their dad, or that, you know, that everything would be easy for them, that I basically didn't let them do anything in some sense. And it wasn't good for them. It wasn't good for me. And I couldn't, you know, you can't control other people. That's one of those things I still struggle with, is trying not to juggle everyone else's life and figure out what's better for them and put my two cents in and, you know, do all that fun stuff, because I'm pretty sure I know better than you, damn it. So, yeah, I'm extremely grateful for that. I'm still working my steps and working with my sponsor, and I have so far to go, but I do see the progress. I feel like before I came here, I didn't know I was affected. I didn't know how I was acting in the world. I was just in everybody's everything and didn't realize it. I thought that I was just the easiest person to be around, and I don't believe that's true. And now I realize I'm doing that. Sometimes I change it. Sometimes I see things differently, and sometimes I speak my mind, and I'm learning to at least hear the truth in my own head, even if I decide not to do it. That's one of the beautiful things about Al-Anon, is you can come, you can speak, you don't have to speak, you can change or not change, you can work forward in the steps. I love the fact that you don't have to do anything and you're still welcome. Because if it had been forced on me that you have to work through the steps or you need to make progress, that would have been terrifying, because you're ready when you're ready. And, you know, it's allowing me a life I didn't think I could have, or just to be someone I hadn't imagined. And I'm doing things I haven't done before, and I'm really living a lot better than I have, and grateful. So I'm really grateful I'm here, and grateful for all of you. Thanks.